Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Father, just thanking you for the opportunity to gather here, for the opportunity to sing your word back to you, Father, to worship you, Father, just to sit back and bask in who you are and the comfort that comes along with that. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for those who have gathered here today, and Father, I pray that you would open our hearts, Father, to hear from you. It's in your son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Whew. Man. You said you had some stuff for us today, Mark. I think I'll just sit down and let y'all keep going for a little while. That's good stuff. So, this morning we kind of honored our Bible drill kids and the commitment that they've made to read and follow God's Word. So I just kind of wanted to take a little time this morning and talk about the Bible and kind of explore it and what is it. And so first thing we always do is I went to Merriam-Webster's dictionary and I looked it up. And this is what Merriam says about the Bible. It says, the book of Christian scriptures consisting of Old and New Testaments, period. And I suppose if you're not a Christian, if you're out in the world or whatever, that would probably get it. I didn't look to see what the definition of the Quran was or any of those other things, but for me as a Christian, I thought, you know, that's kind of shallow. You know, that's kind of shallow. And I said, well, you know, there's more to it. So let's take a look at it. There's 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament, and it's kind of broken down into sections. I think, well, there we go. We've got the history, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And then we go into the poetry. There's prophecy, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, the minor prophets, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Paul's letters, and the other letters. And at the end, Revelation. Pretty cool how prophecy is there. And then we get the fulfillment of the prophecy. And then at the end we get what? Another prophecy. That's pretty cool. And you think, oh, that's pretty cool. But aren't most books written in some type of order? Right? There's a forward and there's some chapters and then it kind of leads up to something and then there's an end. So what makes the Bible different from any other well-organized book? I'll give you an illustration. As a child, we'd be out playing. And inevitably, being the youngest of two siblings, my sister would say, you can't do that. What's the first thing I said? What was the very next thing out of my mouth? Who said so? Because my sister was bad about bossing me, right? But I knew if it was my sister, I didn't have to do it. But if it was Mama, that was different. That carried a little more weight, didn't it? If she said, Mama said you can't do that, then that carried a little more weight. Then that was more likely to be obeyed. But if it was just her, I wanted to know who said it, right? Give me some instructions, but who said it? That's what I wanted to know. So let's go to God's Word and let's find out who said it. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed. So who said it? Okay, we got that cleared up, right? Let's look at the whole verse. That was just the first part. Let's look at the whole verse and find out what it's good for. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Wow. That's the instructions. Would you agree? Those are the instructions. Guys, be honest. What's the first thing to go in the trash when you unbox something? The instructions. Why? Because we can do it, can't we? Eventually, after we dig them back out of the trash can. Right? Am I right? Come on, tell it. Come on. It's okay. I've been there. 4 hours into a project, took it apart, put it together 9 times. Finally, when nobody was looking, because that pride thing sneaks in there on you, you didn't want anybody to know. I went back and dug them out of the garbage can, looked at it, and I was like, dummy. Right? You know how long it took me to get it, put it together after that? About 20 minutes. So if these are the instructions, and the Bible is good for all these things, I want to play a little game with you. We're going to play a little game. We do stuff like this over in Kids Church. I hope y'all don't mind. We're going to do it over here too. In just a minute, you're going to see a slide with something written on it. What you have to decide is it in the Bible? Don't raise your hand. Don't blurt your answers out because, I mean, we don't want anybody to cheat off of you, okay? Just keep up with them. There's only 6 of them, so you can do it on your hands. Got that one right, got that one wrong, got that one right. You can do it, okay? So, keep that up, and then we're going to have the answer, and we'll take a look at them. So, okay, does everybody understand how we play? Okay, here's slide number 1. This too shall pass. Is it in the Bible? Or is it not in the Bible? I'll give you just a second. Okay, enough time. Answer is? It's not in the Bible. Okay, that was warm up. That was kind of a hard one. Here we go. Next slide. Money. Uh-oh, I'm sorry. I missed that one. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Is it in the Bible? Yes or no? Answer is? Not in the Bible. How you doing? Next slide. Money is the root of all evil. Survey says, I know what you're... Hold on. Show me 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, please. I'm sorry. I'll just read it to you. The love of money is the root of all evil. Hey. I didn't write the questions. I didn't write the Bible either. Remember, we already cleared that up. God breathed it, not me. Okay, next slide, please. God helps those who help themselves. Survey says it's not in there. All right, this is a good one. This is a good one. I may get somebody to help me with this one. Okay, ready? Here we go. To thine own self be true. Is it in the Bible? I'm looking for somebody. I'm looking. Does anybody know? Okay, survey says. Does anybody know who wrote that? Who said that? Amazing. Amazing. Shakespeare, very good. Y'all give him a round of applause. Okay, I don't know how you're doing. I can't see your fingers. But here's the bonus question. This one's worth 2. This one's worth 2. Here we go. We are all God's children. We are all God's children. Survey says, no. No. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Him, with Christ in baptism, have put on the character of Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are His heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. We're all created by God, but we're not all God's children. So in light of how you did on the test, maybe I have a good idea, maybe I don't. I know how I scored on those the first time I saw them, and it kind of turned a light bulb on for me. So in light of the fact that God said it, and maybe I don't know as much about it as I thought I did, or maybe I should, let's look at the Bible. Let's look at what it says it's good for. Psalm 119:105. It guides. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Ever needed a light? Yeah. Number two, it destroys lies. John 8:32. Then you will know the truth. And what? The truth will set you free. See, if Mama knew what I had done, there was no way I was going to lie my way out of it. Did I just tell y'all I lied? Sorry. Y'all have a human children's pastor as a child. Right? If you know the truth, nobody's going to be able to tell you any different. Chad Bryant used to say all the time, I don't know if he's here today, so anyway, he used to tell me all the time, he said, you know, you can make your mouth say anything. You can make your mouth say anything. I can sit up here and tell you I'm a rocket scientist, right? But it's not true. If you know different, if you know the truth, then I'm not going to be able to deceive you. So it destroys lies. Number three, it warns us of danger. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch? The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Is that 2 Timothy 3:10 through 16? Yeah. Okay, then I've given you the wrong reference. I apologize. Let's look at number four. It keeps us from sinning. Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Right, again, knowing the truth, knowing what to do, keeps us from sinning. Number five, it shows others who we are. John 13:34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So is it that we should love one another, or is it that we've got a new command? It's a new command. And when we follow what God tells us to do, it shows others who we are. So then how? Let's take a look at the Israelites, right? They've left Egypt. They're in the desert. They kind of mess things up. Nobody gets to come in from that 21. Nobody older than 21 was ever going to see the promised land. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. And Moses is telling them how great it's going to be. You're going to have vineyards you didn't plant. You're going to have wells you didn't dig. You're going to have riches you didn't earn. You're going to have this. 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 Now let's look at the instructions to them before they entered the promised land. Deuteronomy 6:1-9. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life. They're getting ready to go. What does he say? Remember the teachings. Remember the commands. Mom says, don't play in the street. I thought that was a huge problem. I was really good at roller skating, and our driveway was about 30 feet long. I needed more room. I couldn't believe that she would tell me such a thing. Why can't I go roller skating in the street? It's a quarter mile loop. Man, think of the fun I could have. It didn't make sense to me, but it made perfect sense to Mom and to Will later. Don't play in the street. And the first time we told him, he walked directly to the curb, stood and looked at his mama and went, just like that. I thought child services would have been there in about 30 minutes. They didn't show up. But Will didn't go in the street anymore. All right? Remember the commands. They're for your good. They show other people who you belong to. They show other people what you think about God. Let's look a little further along in Deuteronomy at some of the other instructions. Chapter 11, verse 18. and again so that we don't forget. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Put it everywhere. Put it everywhere. And after he got through giving the instructions, he reminded them in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12. There's a reminder here. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He said, don't forget who said it. Don't forget who said it. That matters. Things are fixing to be really good for you. You're going to be rocking and rolling. You're going to have everything you could have ever dreamed of, and you're not going to have to work for it. And every time you go into a new land, people are just going to leave. God's with you, but don't forget Him. Don't forget what He taught you. Because, see, if you really believe God is who He says He is, then following what He tells you to do shouldn't be a problem. Well, guess what? Let's look at John 8:31. To the Jews who had believed in Him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. See, that defines it. So to the Jews who had believed in Him, to the Christians, He said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. When you realize who He is, then you almost can't not obey, right? If you hold to His teachings, you realize who He is. If you hold to His teachings, you realize how much He loves you. If you hold to His teachings, you realize what He did for you. And He wants to take care of you. Mom wanted to take care of me when she said, don't play in the street. It's because she loved me. God gives us the instructions because He loves us. So, who can tell me what happened to the Israelites? Anybody know? A very short while later, they were worshiping idols. They had taken on the gods of the people that they had conquered. They were as far away from God as they had ever been when they were in the desert. What happened? They forgot. Things were good. I got everything I need. I don't really need all that right now. We're in control. You see the pattern repeated again in Judges. Over and over and over and over again. And that's where Tommy was. That's where Tommy was. Maybe you were too. I don't know. I'm preaching to you from what God told me. I wasn't studying it. I wasn't reading it. I was listening to podcasts, going to church, listening to preachers on the radio, reading a devotional from time to time. But I wasn't getting in the Word. I wasn't studying it. I wasn't looking at, okay, how does this one verse relate to this chapter in this book in the entirety of the Bible? Really getting in and studying that. And man, what a refreshing place to come back to realize, to give God, hey, you know what? I might ought to listen to this. I might ought to read this. I might ought to study this. I do need to hide this in my heart because things aren't always going to be great. Things aren't always going to be easy. Things are going to be difficult. But He's given us His Word. So how are you doing? You studying God's Word? Are you hiding it in your heart? Somebody that had been in Bible drills and has been out for a couple of years now called Janet the other day and said, man, I had this really strange thing happen and I was really stressed out and I didn't know what to do. And bam, there it was, a verse that I had learned in Bible drills. See, we're easily deceived. We are easily deceived. The devil doesn't have to create a new religion. He's just got to distort the one we've got, make it sound good, lead us away. I'm going to just tell you, if you've heard something from me today, I want you to take it back to the Word. And if you find something wrong, let me know, please. I told staff on Tuesday, I said, y'all do this all the time and you don't think about it a whole lot, but getting up in front of God's people and giving him a message and making sure that it's what he wanted you to say so that later I don't have to stand in front of him and he's going, what were you doing? That's a big deal. It's intimidating. But I got in his word, and the more I got in his word, it's like, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is what he wants me to say, because we're talking about Bible truths and things. But y'all, we're so easily deceived. We're so easily led astray. You hear things and you think, man, that sounds good. Or you read something in your Bible and you go, oh, that ain't what that means. No, can't do that. That's not what that means. Go over toward the end of Job and read what happened to Job when he started questioning. You know, Job went through some pretty rough times, lost everything he had, his family, his farm, his possessions, his everything. Most of his friends told him, you know, you've done something wrong, you know. But anyway, towards the end of Job, he questions God. And I don't know if y'all have seen that Geico commercial. I love it. The tattoo guy, right? He's in there and he says, I am one of the tattoo artists in town. And the guy says, you mean one of the best? And he said something like that. And he's getting ready to do the tattoo, and the guy getting the tattoo says, hey, aren't you supposed to draw it? And he looks up and he says, stay in your lane, bro. Stay in your lane. That's basically what God told Job. He said, Job, did you hang the stars? Do you tell the water where to go and the mountains where to rise up? Did you set the time for the wild animals to be born? Like 96 questions that God asked Job. Job's like, you know what? My bad. So if you're reading God's word and you're going, nah, that's not what that means, stay in your lane. You better stay in your lane. Remember who said it. So here's where I ended up. I need to do better. Maybe you do too. Maybe you need to recommit to studying God's word and not just taking what you can get off the radio or taking what you can get out of the pulpit or taking what you can get out of your Sunday school class. The conversation between us and God is a two-way street. We pray. How many of y'all pray and say, man, I'm just not hearing from God? 66 books of response. 66 books of response. It's a two-way deal. He gives us the instructions. Are you trying to build something without the instructions? Have you got it? I don't know. I know that my life is more complete, more fulfilled, more directed, and more secure when I remember who God is. And then I study his word to find out what he wants me to do. So where you at? Maybe you need to recommit to that. I do. I have. And it's been extremely rewarding for me. Here's what we have. Here's what we have. And this is also in God's word. We have a promise from him, according to his word, to be faithful and just, to forgive our sins when we confess and repent. So my charge to you is, if you need that, to get back into his word. Don't wait on me to tell you what it says. Study it, read it, and hide it in your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you so much for providing the instructions. Help us to remember who said it. Father, and the fact that because you said it, it matters. Father, help us recommit to a study of your word. Father, and for those that are doing it, Father, help them to dig deeper. Father, communicate to us through your word. Guide our steps. Keep us from falling into sin. Keep us from being deceived. Father, and you provide all of that through your amazing, amazing word. Father, again, we thank you for this day. And I thank you for the opportunity to share your word. Father, I just pray that you use it to touch lives and to change hearts. In your Son's name I pray. Amen. Maybe you don't know God. Maybe you don't know who He is. Maybe this week maybe things are lining up. Maybe He's beginning to speak to you. Maybe He's beginning to talk to you. Maybe today's the day. Maybe today's the day to say, you know what? You are Lord. And what you say does matter. And I know that you love me. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus today, I'll be down front. Chris will be down front if you'd like to talk to us about that. Or if you'd just like to take a little time at the altar with Him and say, you know, God, maybe I've been slack. You know, I hadn't been doing what I should be doing. It'd be a good chance to talk with Him about that.
Joy in destiny, whoa, cause you're restoring me piece by piece. There's nothing too dirty that you can make worthy. You wash me in mercy. Nothing too dirty that you can make worthy. You wash me in mercy. Sacrifice. Your blood flows red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean, I am clean, oh, oh. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood flows red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean, I am clean, I am clean. Oh, you made me, you washed me.